Several years ago, the mayor of Toronto decided that to combat the evil in his city, he would call for a campaign called Light the Night. The idea was that on one particular night, every citizen of Toronto would leave a light on inside their house and another light burning outside their house. He thought and encouraged that the more light, the less darkness, the less evil. Well, that's a good idea, and we even do that here at Central Church in October, when rather than falling after the holiday of demons and devils, we call it Light the Night and try to encourage people to know more about Jesus, who's the light of the world. Because God is the one who originally had that idea. Years and years and years before the mayor in Toronto, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And years and years after that, Jesus came to this earth and said, "I am the light of the world." And then he looked at you, and he looked at me, and he looked at all of us, and he said, "And you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light so shine that others might see your good works and magnify or glorify your Father which is in heaven." So today we're going to talk about living for God in a dark world. And you, as a bright light, are supposed to shine. Look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 14, 15, and 16 as we come to the 11th message in this series of messages from the book of Philippians. Verse 14. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." Father, I pray that this passage of Scripture would be light to our minds and to our hearts, that would lead us and share with us and show us how to shine brightly in a dark world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so from this very simple passage, just a couple of three verses, we are going to discover that we are to shine in this dark world. And then we're going to discover that the way we shine is by a distinct and different kind of walk. And then we'll finally discover that the way we shine in this dark world is by becoming God informers, God encouragers, God instructors through the divine word. So begin by just saying, we're to shine in a dark world. Verse 15 says that this world is a dark world. It is a crooked and twisted generation. So there's two things that are said about it. First, it is a depraved world. Now, when we use the word depraved, what we mean is people that are given totally and completely to sin. This goes back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned before God, and the whole human race was plunged into sin. And from that time until this time, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're told that not one of us lives right, does right, thinks right, and is right. So we are all sinners in need of a Savior. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have missed the mark. We've fallen short of the glory of God, and all like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And if there had to be one verse of Scripture that perfectly describes the world that we're living in, it would be the last verse of the book of Judges that said, "Every man did what was right in his own eyes." This is a depraved world. The word crooked that is used here is the same word that we get our word scoliosis from. It is a curvature of the spine. It is an affliction of the body. So what is being said about the world in which we live is it's a crooked world. It is not a straight world. It cannot go straight. It cannot be straight. It cannot do straight, for we're in a world whose mentality and actions do not conform to the image of the living God. We cannot think, we cannot act, and we cannot go straight because we are depraved and we are spiritually dead. You wouldn't argue with that. It only takes a moment to read the paper, watch the news, or talk to your neighbor and know that this is a very dark world that we're living in. You may not have heard. Early this morning in Orlando, 50 now dead, 50 more injured in an early morning shooting in a bar. A depraved world. Human flesh is cheap. Terroristic effort is large. A depraved, dark, decadent world that we're living in. Can we do anything about that? Of course we can. And that's what Paul wants us to see in this message today. So it's not only a depraved world. He says that it is a distorted world. When you come to talk about crooked, that's our actions. And when you come to say something about perverse, that's our attitude. A distorted world has a distorted view of who God is and of what God says and of what God requires. We don't call sin sin, but God does. It's a mistake. It's an issue. It's an unfortunate thing. It's even a sickness. It's an illness. It's an affliction. But it's never truly called sin. How long has it been since you heard a politician stand up and say, "I must ask God for forgiveness because I have sinned"? You don't hear that because you don't have many honest men, convicted men and righteous men in places of leadership. Men need to recognize it's not just a mistake and it's not just an illness, it's sin. It's a perverse mindset that is warped about the things of God. God calls sin iniquity. God calls sin transgression. God calls sin evil, and blessed is the person who agrees with God. We have a warped and distorted view of what our world is all about. So think about this. It's a dark world, and you and I have been commanded to shine in a dark world. The second thing that he says in this passage is that the way we shine is by a very distinct and different kind of walk. He challenges us to be blameless and innocent without blemish because we're in this crooked and twisted generation. You know that there is a hurtful walk as well as a helpful walk. Ingersoll, the atheist, said, "I would have been a Christian if I had not met one." That's a hurtful walk. What we're talking about here is letting the church be the church, a light in a dark world. But he says, do that without quarreling. Do that without complaining. We're our own worst enemy. Our advertisement quite often points to a people who hate, points to a people who compromise with sin, points to a people who are objective about only the things that please them, points to a group of people who are not separate, who have not come out from the world. It seems like in most religious circles, we want just enough of heaven to get out of hell, but all the world we can gather in. And what God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture is that hurts the cause of Christ. You remember the song you learned early on in church? "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And then there was a verse that said, "Hide it under a bushel." And we said, "No, I'm not going to hide my light. I'm going to let my light shine." It's a dark world. The world needs the light of Jesus Christ. And like the moon reflects the sun, I am to reflect the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. I'm never to hide it. I'm never to put it away. Complaining and arguing shows that we're never content. And if we're never content, the world does not want what we have. Just suppose I was a recruiter for an athletic team, and you were a major star in that sport. And I came to you and said, "Come to camp and learn about the team." And if that first few moments you were in camp to learn about the team, you saw some pushing and others pulling. You saw some angry and mad at this or that or the other. You heard complaining. You saw division and a lack of unity. Are you apt to sign with my team? Do you want to play in that kind of circumstance? And yet, when the world looks at professing Christianity, they see such disharmony, such division, so many, so often standing for so much that is not pleasing to God. They see worldliness and fleshliness. They see that the divorce rate in here is not any different than it is out there. They watch us as we partake of the things of the world, just like people who never professed Christ. They see us hateful. They see us in an unloving fashion. And when the world looks at us, we hurt the cause of Christ if we are not living out the Christ life. There is a helpful walk. And that walk is one that finds us blameless and innocent. Blameless does not mean sinless. I'm not sinless. You're not sinless. We'll never be sinless until we're with Jesus. But we can be blameless. Men of character, women of integrity, we can be blameless. And we can be innocent. I love to walk by the church nursery. And though they may be crying because mom or dad's left them behind, and though they may not like where they are, you can just watch the little love flow from the babies. And don't you like to hold a baby? And don't you like to rock a baby? And don't you like to look at a little one and know that this is the gift of God that has come down to earth? Innocence. But we've lost that, we here in this room. We've lost the innocence that God gives the little baby. But oh, if we were, and if we can become what God wants us to be, we can grasp that innocence once again, to where the things of this world are not magnets that pull us away, but the things of God are magnets that draw us unto Him. Have you ever given a small child a gift only to discover that they love the box more than the gift? It's because small children place value in things that are meaningful without knowing what everybody else thinks the cost is. And let me tell you something. There are some meaningful things that the world will never uphold that the Church of the Living God ought to cherish. Sometimes I'd rather have the box as what the world thinks is most important. Sometimes I'd rather have the box as what the world counts as valuable and worthwhile. And the church ought to get that this morning. Well, in this hurtful walk, we do the cause of Christ damage. In this helpful walk, we build up the cause of Christ. But you ought to be asking, how can we be blameless and how can we be harmless in this world? Well, the answer is found in the verses that precede the passage I've read today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of human flesh. If you want to be innocent and blameless in this world, if you want to be a light, then you need the mind of Christ. We need to develop the heavenly perspective. We need to see things as Jesus saw them and respond to people as Christ responded to people. We need to be men and women like Jesus Christ, conformed to the very image of the Lord. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Joy. And that's what the whole of the book of Philippians is about. How we can live in joy. We can do so by just putting Jesus first. By putting others second and ourselves as last. And that will make a helpful walk. And let me bring you to a third thought. To shine in a dark world, to shine by a distinct and different kind of walk, and to shine forth a divine word, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud I may be happy. I may rejoice. This word introduces life. Life comes from no one but God. And this word introduces God and God as the source of life. But it not only introduces life, it imparts life. Listen to what Peter said. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are believers who have been given the responsibility of shining. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to reveal it. I'm not going to let Satan put it out. I'm going to make sure the fire burns brightly. That's what we teach our children in nursery school. Certainly, that's what we adults in the worship center ought to know, that by the living Word of God, our lives should manifest the power of the cross of Calvary and the presence of the Lord so that others can see Jesus in us and glorify our Heavenly Father. Here's an interesting thing. Paul said, hold fast to the Word. And that hold fast is the same word we use for grip. Grab hold of and don't let go the Word of God. Why? Because it's the lifeline. It's what you're hanging on to. When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on and let that knot represent God's hope and God's help in your life. We don't have to let go and be like the world. We can hold on and be like Jesus Christ. We can hold fast to the Word of the living God. I want to close by telling you this. Satan wants to put it out. God wants it to shine forth. It's a dark world. It'll be even darker when the trumpet sounds and the church is raptured. But until then, here's your challenge. In every conversation, shine a light. In every situation, shine a light. On every subject, shine a light. In every area, shine a light. At all times, shine a light. You don't have to say anything. God said it. You don't have to do anything. God's done it. You don't have to be anything. God's already been it. All you've got to do is shine a light. Let your life be the spotlight that shows how much God loved this world and that Jesus died on a rugged cross and came forth from the grave and is on the throne to ever live and make intercession for us. You just shine your light on Jesus. And when you do, the world will see it and they'll bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Can we just be bright lights in a dark world? Let's stand together. Pastors will be here in the altar. If you've never trusted Christ, what a great day it would be for you to come and say, I want to know how that can happen in my life. And if you have trusted Him and need to follow Him in baptism, as you have seen several in this service do, then you need to come and let that be known. And if you want to become a part of our church family, you come and our pastors will tell you just exactly how that can happen. I'm going to ask that everyone stay right where you are, think about these moments of invitation, and pray for God's will to be done in everybody's heart and life as the pastors come and as we sing together.
Every promise.